most sick people.
Creating optimal health.
Eat right.
Really small changes that can add up.
How should you choose a doctor?
Move right.
A workout that I can do pretty much anywhere.
Challenge yourself.
Screening you can do on your own.
And think right.
Do you feel depressed?
Good for your health.
We are not talking about health care. Let's set aside all the issues of insurance, deductibles, even doctors. Let's talk about being healthy when the most important professional is you. You have control over a lot of issues that involve the health of your body and your mind, but for the most part, we don't take care of ourselves as we should. Why not? Let's ask that question now in our new Do-It-Yourself series. This is our new series called DIY Checkup. We're going to check up on our health and figure out how to make it better with Kate Daly. She's the articles editor at Newsweek. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Also with us, Dr. Erin Carroll, director of the Center for Health Policy and Professional Research at Indiana University. So the first problem, Kate, is that most people, although we're pretty obsessed with health, we probably spend millions, maybe even billions on health products that we buy, say at CVS or Target or wherever. But we're not really honest about our own health.
No. And I mean, it's no secret that America is unhealthy. In any kind of article or debate that comes up about health or health care, you hear the numbers, the fact that more and more Americans have chronic diseases, more and more Americans have more than one chronic disease, that we're getting heavier, that we're getting unhealthier, that we're spending all this money on health care costs that may be unnecessary. And yet, when you look at our own lives, I mean, for all that talk and all that lecturing in the past 10 years, we haven't gotten any healthier. And I think we've become so obsessed with it that we're almost paralyzed because we see it as this huge problem that's going to take a lot of steps to surmount, when in fact, there are a lot of little things that you can do that will make a positive effort on your health.
And those all, we have lots and lots of suggestions because this is a 10-week series that we're going to be talking to people. But Dr. Erin Carroll, I want to talk to you first about this idea of being honest. You know, I had a relative of mine who went to the doctor, and this is a doctor she'd gone to for 15 years, but decided to stop seeing him because he said, "You are overweight, and I can't cushion the blow anymore. You have got to lose at least 100 pounds. And she said, "That's it. I'm done with this doctor." Doctor?
Problem, especially in the United States of America, because we don't actually want sometimes to accept the things that we can control, and we try to focus many times on the things that we can't, which is why Kate brought up chronic disease. There's lots of things that we can't control, and we spend a lot of money and a lot of healthcare money trying to fix those things, but we often ignore the things that we can. And that's a real problem with the health in the United States of America.
Well, okay, let's talk about some of these things that he's talking. I assume we're talking about things like smoking. And weight, of course. What are these things that are totally within our control that would improve our health?
Well, the three things that people should always strive to be doing, you should strive to relieve stress, you know, try and do little things to alleviate stress, eat better, eat more nutritiously, and get more exercise. I think saying things like, well, we need to lose weight, we need to lose 100 pounds, it's kind of part of the problem because we're focusing too much on kind of these end results, on the fact that you're going to go from being a size 22 to a size 6, when in fact we know that's really difficult to happen. So people might say, well, forget it, I'm never going to be a size 6, when in fact what they really need to do is not worry about how they look, but again, worry about how much physical activity they're getting, how much exercise they're, or how much fruits and vegetables they're eating and nutrition, and how much stress they have in their lives and what they can do to mitigate that.
But this is really the problem, Dr. Carroll, is it not? I worked as a mentor for e-diets for a while, and people would often come to me and say, I can't resist potato chips if they're there. I can't. And I would say, look, you need to replace can't with won't, and then we'll be closer to the truth. I mean, this is really the problem, that before we get to all these tips on how to improve your health, we've got to get people to accept that, number one, they're probably unhealthy in some ways, and number two, they can fix it relatively easily.
Well, I think part of it is just that we have the wrong definition of health. I think too many people in America define health as a complete absence of disease, or they haven't met the ideal perfect goal of, say, I need to lose 100 pounds, and therefore they're unhealthy. And health is a much more diffuse subject. It's really much more, can you do the things you want to do? Can you live the life you want to live? Or can you enjoy the things you want to enjoy? And it's a very personal thing. And little changes can actually make a big difference. Instead of saying, I have to give up potato chips, you have to say, what if I just have the amount of potato chips I eat? Or what if I didn't eat potato chips every day? What if I give up 150 calories a day, which is just really a sugared soda? And if you do that, and that alone, over the course of a year, you'll probably lose like 10 pounds. It's a long-term thing. It's about living a lifestyle, small changes for the long haul instead of I need to achieve this goal really fast, and that will make me healthy.
Okay, so Kate, we're moving into a 10-part series about health, and you have tons and tons of evidence and statistics and suggestions on how people can do this. But as you're speaking to people right now, what message do you have for them when they start to think about, am I healthy, and how do I motivate myself to make my health better?
Well, I think Dr. Carroll makes an excellent point that health is a moving target. There is no one finish line that once you cross, you will be healthy, and then you can stop doing whatever you've been doing. I think people need to strive every day to think, what am I doing and what can I change so that I'm a little bit healthier today than I was yesterday, as opposed to looking at the big picture, at kind of the finish line, at the long term. Just making little changes each day will really make a positive difference in your health. And I do think we have to acknowledge that when we talk about health, there are some things we can't control. We can't control our genetics. We can't control a lot of the environmental cues. But within that framework that we're given, within the health that's kind of handed to us by where we live or who our parents are, there's a lot we can do within those parameters to, as Dr. Carroll said, kind of live the healthiest lives for us.
And they don't have to be major changes.
They don't have to be major changes, and I think the road to success is these smaller changes, because major changes are very hard to sustain. They might ignore, trying to make a major change might ignore some of the realities of your life, the fact that you have three kids and you're driving around every day and you don't have time to get to the gym for an hour and a half, or the fact that you are on a fixed income and that you can't afford to go to Whole Foods and buy all your groceries from Whole Foods. And so small changes are really what's going to lead to sustained success and to significant health changes.
Dr. Erin Carroll, I imagine that most GPs would love it if their patients came in and said, "Doctor, I need advice on how I can become more healthy," as opposed to, "I think I might have asthma, I think I might have diabetes, can you test me for this disease or that disease," right?
I totally, absolutely agree with that. And I think we need as a country to focus more on those things. I think Kate brought up another excellent point. So many of us have chronic disease. It doesn't mean you can't be healthy. You know, many people who even have illness are asked by their doctors, you know, "How do you feel?" "I feel great." You know, you learn to live with what you have. You learn to make small changes so that you personally can enjoy your life and get the most out of it. And that is being healthy.
Okay, we're going to be certainly talking about this a lot more in the future, because we have our 10-part DIY checkup series coming up. It's our newest do-it-yourself series. Kate Daly, the articles editor at Newsweek and a longtime health reporter, is going to be with us for the whole series. We also spoke today with Dr. Erin Carroll, the director of the Center for Health Policy and Professional Research at Indiana University School of Medicine. Thanks so much. There's more on our website from Kate. Kate Daly has on our website tips on how to redefine healthy in your life. Go to our blog, thetakeaway.org, and take a look at it.
And while you're there, we want to know how you measure healthy. What does it mean in your life, and how do you take control of your own health? You can tell us on the website at thetakeaway.org. You can call 8778-MYTAKE, of course, or head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Heather did that. She went to Facebook and wrote, "I exercise almost every day, and not just cardio. I also know where my food comes from, eat lots of fruits and vegetables, and practice meditation." She sounds like she's pretty healthy. What's your take, though? Keep this conversation going. How do you define health? We're also going to be talking about a summer reading. We're going to kick that off tomorrow with speaking with author Hillary Thayer Heyman. But if you have suggestions on good books to read, let us know. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm Todd Zwillick. It's The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.